You find yourself in a moment in a relationship where someone says something that what we would refer to as drive you up the wall. It causes your emotions to react in a certain way, in the direction of not so much happiness, but maybe they get you to be frustrated. Maybe they get you to feel a little bit angry, or maybe they even get you to be fearful. I don't know about you, but more often than not in my own life, where I look back at these moments, I'm quick to want to respond. I'm ready to go at it. I mean, if someone says something that I don't see fitting to me on the side of the road, or if they say something to me online, I'm like ready to go at you to say, excuse me, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know what you're talking about? What makes you say that? How dare you say that? And we're like quick to, I guess what they call in popular culture, clap back, to really kind of rebuttal and respond and give this thing of defending ourselves. And I know you've been there. If you've been married for longer than 3 months, you will know that something will happen and you'll have a disagreement and you're like, excuse me, what do you mean? That's what you thought that I'm saying. And no one sits in an argument with their spouse. And please correct me if I'm wrong. If you've been there and you're married and you've done this, please school me. I'd love to learn this. Where the whole time in the argument, you're doing everything in your power to prove your partner right. No, dear friend. You're doing everything in your power to prove your point, to prove yourself right. James 1:19 shares something so incredible that so many of us could learn, where in the heat of the moment, we could say some things that we look back at and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because James 1:19 reminds us to be a people who are slow to speak, but quick to listen.
The Afternoon Drive on Impact 103. Come alive.
You're not lucky. You are loved. Contrary to what they may say around you, saying, oh, luck's on your side, just know that, oh, no. You've got it wrong. God is on my side. And I'm wondering if you're aware of that in moments where someone says something wrong to you and provokes you. And I asked a question a little bit earlier on, how quick are you to respond in those situations? How quick are you to respond when someone says something to you that provokes you? Well, in James chapter number 1, verse 19, we see something that's so incredible, where the writer of the book of James is warning us of something so important, where he says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And we're looking at these first two, where it speaks about being quick to listen and slow to speak. It's this idea of so many times we'll be confronted with things, but our first response, which is to speak, the scripture then says, hey, slow down. Don't be so quick to speak, but instead be slow to listen. I don't know if you're able to take stock of your life and look back and see how many moments there are where you're just like, man, that could have been avoided if I just said nothing. If I just honestly kept quiet just a little bit longer and then responded from there. And I reminded of there's this old saying that I've heard many people share. I've read it in a book here and there. I've heard many people use it in their talks. It's this idea of you've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. Because you need to listen twice as much as what you do talking. To be slow to speak and quick to listen. And sometimes in anger, we try to make sure that we get in that last word. We're the ones who make that last point that makes it land, that really turns this person to see what I'm saying. But so much of that could be lost in us being so quick to respond and slow to listen, to catch the heart of the person, one. But also number two, to catch the heart of God in that circumstance, in that situation. I mean, listen to what it says in Proverbs 10, verse 19. In one translation, it says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And I love this in the New Living Translation. It says it so frankly. It just says, too much talk leads to sin. But be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I'll read that again. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Could it be that there's certain relationships in your life that you look back at, certain moments and interactions and conversations that you had with people in your life, that you think, man, this would probably be saved if I was willing to just keep quiet just a little bit longer?
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
Be quick to listen and slow to speak. This idea of saying process what's happening around you before you actually get it out of your mouth, because your mouth is very important. In actual fact, it's so important that two chapters later, James finds himself still speaking about the tongue. He actually speaks about it in chapter number three of the book of James, in verse 5 and 6. He speaks about the tongue and he says the following: "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." In the New Living Translation, it says it so beautifully, saying, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, everything, your fingers, your toenails, your ears, your nose, your knees, your kidneys, all these things, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body if it's not used well. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches." And the apostle, the writer of James, is saying, hey, you need to look out for this thing. This thing is incredible, but also it can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. And I know you might be thinking, Khosi Jeepers, this sounds hectic, but what happens when emotions are taking over? What happens in those moments of feeling shame or feeling embarrassment or feeling angry? And I know a single frustrating moment is one of those things that you feel like you can replay it in your mind for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. When you think about that person who embarrassed you, when you think about that person who brought you shame, you can replay that moment for hours. And really, it kind of sets the tone for the rest of your day. This is something that's so real. But actually, studies have shown, and it's a study by a Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor, who's a neuroscientist, who's actually brought it out that the initial emotional reaction, that emotion that you feel initially, actually only lasts 90 seconds. Anything beyond the 90 seconds is a choice you make. That's actually ongoing, field ongoing mental engagement. You choosing to engage in it. But the feeling and the emotion lasts 90 seconds. Can you imagine? 90 seconds. How many relationships have been hurt because one was not willing to wait 90 seconds? How many relationships have been damaged and ruined because we were slow to listen and quick to speak? How many mistakes could have been avoided had we listened instead of talking? Dear friend, as we wrap up this quick chat and quick check-in, I really want to leave you with this nugget to say, let us be quick to listen and slow to speak. And sometimes that looks like us being willing to wait 90 seconds, to sit in silence and say, I will not respond to this email. I'll let 90 seconds pass. I will not respond to this message, this comment, this statement that my neighbor has made, that this cell leader has made, that has left me feeling offended. I'm going to walk away and let the initial emotion itself pass, and rather allow myself to display restraint of my tongue, to rather be silent, to rather be quiet, to appear the fool. It's actually a statement where someone I was quoting someone who said this. It says, it is better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. And maybe sometimes to live out the scripture in James 1:19 that says, be slow to speak and quick to listen, it looks like us being able to say, I am willing to look like a fool for the sake of silence and to open my mouth and, if anything, actually appear to be a fool.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.